we should celebrate the equinox. And in the Buddhist tradition, it is a ceremonial day. Japanese call it Higan. Higan means the other shore. This refers to nirvana. In the Mahayana tradition, there is a whole class of literature called the Prajnaparamita Sutras. The title can be translated as the higher knowledge that's gone to the other shore. There are quite a number of these sutras, ranging from over 100,000 lines to only a few short paragraphs. However, of all of this literature, certainly the Diamond Sutra and the Heart Sutra are the most important. But what then is in this higher knowledge that will take one to the other shore? It is nothing other than the realization of shunyata, or emptiness. We find this alluded to in the Diamond Sutra. The sutra says, Sabuti, all the bodhisattva mahasattvas should discipline their thoughts as follows. All living creatures of whatever class, born from an egg, from wombs, from moisture, or by transformation, whether with form or without form, whether in a state of thinking or exempt from thought necessity, or wholly beyond all thought realms, all these are caused by me to obtain unbound liberation. Yet when vast, uncountable, immeasurable numbers of beings have thus been liberated, verily no being has been liberated. Why is this, Subhuti? It is because no bodhisattva, who is a real bodhisattva, cherishes the idea of an ego entity, a personality, a being, or a separate individuality. This one paragraph from the Diamond Sutra really explains half of what is meant by shunyata. In particular, it explains what is elsewhere called the shunyata of self. To restate the sutra in a comprehensive yet brief form, one is not a bodhisattva if you still hold to the idea of a self. This is one of the most important teachings for the whole of Buddhism. In fact, it is at the very core of about half of the Buddhist practices. Whatever you are at any one moment, you will be different in the next. These differences occur in both your body and your mind, and we are only a compilation of different groupings, form, perceptions, volitions, consciousness, and mental constituents. However, usually they are so subtle that we do not notice them. Change after change pile up, and by the time we do notice, we have completely incorporated them into the idea of ourselves. So, you think that the little boy or the little girl who went to first grade are now the same people who, though 20, 50, 70, or even 80 years old, sitting in the center. But you are not the same. It is only a delusion that you are the same. Thus, if you really want to be the best Buddhist, you must remove the false idea of a self. This statement is true if you want to be a Theravada Buddhist or a Mahayana Buddhist. The easy path of the Pure Land or the difficult path of self-cultivation. It is true if you follow the gradual path of the Yogacara or if you follow the sudden path of Zen. You must remove this false idea of self and the self's power. Second, the Diamond Sutra states, furthermore, Subhuti, in the practice of charity, a bodhisattva should be detached. That is to say, he should practice charity without regard to appearance, without regard to sound, odor, touch, flavor, or any quality. Subhuti, thus should the bodhisattva practice charity without attachment. Wherefore, in such a case, his or her merit is incalculable. We can see in this passage that the Buddha's teaching is alluding to the second part of shunyata called other shunyata. That is, the things around us are also constantly changing from moment to moment. There are nothing but a compilation of constituent parts, and each of these is in a constant state of flux. We are often not aware of this constant change, but it is certainly taking place. Thus, we need to realize that there is nothing actually established in this world. Everything is becoming something else. This aspect, too, is emphasized in Buddhist practice. The Theravada has one way of understanding this, and the Mahayana has another. The Mahayana holds that all things in samsara are constantly changing. There are no exceptions. This is a thoroughgoing application of the causal theory. Much Mahayana practice is also aimed at bringing about this realization. However, even though we modern people of the West know that everything changes, know that all is caused, our knowledge is merely intellectual. What the Mahayana is talking about is a change that takes place at the very core of your mind, so that you view everything very differently. And this is no easy task. We have to move from viewing the world as what we think and emotionally respond to a view of the world as it really is, and thus our thinking and emotional response will be very different. These same teachings hold true for the Buddha as they do for us common sentient beings. The Diamond Sutra states, Subhuti, what do you think? Let no one say that the Tathagata cherishes the idea I must liberate all living beings. Allow no such thoughts, Subhuti. Wherefore? Because in reality there are no living beings to be liberated by the Tathagata. If there were living beings for the Tathagata to liberate, he would partake in the idea of selfhood, personality, entity, and separate individuality. Subhuti, do the common people accept egoity as real? The Tathagata declares that ego is not different from non-ego. Subhuti, whom the Tathagata refers to as common people are not really common people. Such is merely a name. We can see in this passage that even the Tathagata, or the Buddha, does not conceive of a self, an ego, an individual, because no such thing really exists. Then, there are no beings that the Buddha liberates. This is true for all Buddhas. There were no great arhats of the past that Sakyamuni liberated. There are no common people in the present that Amitabha liberates, and there will be no future people that Maitreya will liberate. The very idea of common people, Buddhas, arhats, bodhisattvas, etc., is a delusion, not real, not actually established, and thus there are no entities to liberate or be liberated. Further, there is no action called liberation, nor is there non-liberation. Why should we want to realize this shunyata? Because doctrinally it is what helps distinguish the Mahayana from the Theravada. But more importantly, because we are lost in the view which is self-centered, and because we are lost in the view that the world is what we think it is, we needlessly and endlessly go around and around in the wheel of samsara, suffering all types of pains, deprivations, and diseases. The Buddha Shakyamuni once asked, "What do you think is more, the water in all of the seas, or the tears you have cried in all of your lives?" The answer was the tears cried. If you do not stop seeing and responding to the world the way you do now, and in the false view of a self, you certainly will continue in these painful lives, you good yogis. This is exactly what you will accomplish when you get to the Pure Land. You will come to realize shunyata. When you understand this intellectually, you must proceed to make it part of your living experience. You must move to make this a realization. If you cultivate variously, you can come to this view. But it is not easy. But these two aspects of shunyata are only the negative side of the equation. Shunyata also has its positive side. The great bodhisattvas want their life dominated by the view from shunyata. Further, in fact, this is exactly what the Buddhas are viewing all of the time. This view is free of duality, free of suffering, free of falling into lower states of existence, and free from the false.